Эй, Кришна.
В последний раз мы говорили о том, что концерт Шриштайса Садмарка произрастает из Курукшетры, встречи Курукшетры. Что значит обрести служение на Курукшетре? Какова квалификация этого служения для этого служения? Есть ли у нас шанс?
He told that you mentioned recently that conception of Sri Chaitanya Sarasatmat originates from Kurukshetra. So how do you get the service on Kurukshetra? What qualification do you need for this?
I don't think that's precisely what I said, but you're jumping to that conclusion. I was saying, we were discussing about Guru Maharaj's inaugurating Sri Chaitanya Sarasvat Mat on the Rath Yatra day, discussing beginnings and how he selected that day, because he was in Navadvip for 1 year, 1941. So it was on the Rath Yatra day of 1942 that he, as he entered the hut, put the flagpole, and perhaps composed the pranam mantram and these sort of things. So what I'm reminded of is Srila Guru Maharaj reminding me once, Mahajano yena kata sapanta, to always follow the path of the Mahajans. This word path is interesting. Implied, they've already made a way. Right? Those who've ever explored forest and woods, no, you find a path that someone made. That's usually the best way to proceed. So that's what they say. Mahajano yena kata sapanta. The great devotees, they've created different paths that can be followed successfully. And that takes us beyond personal calculation, the calculative world, to the faithful plane. And as Srila Guru Maharaj pointed out, with regard to Srila Saraswati Thakur, we hear about his expertise as a Jyotishi, also mathematician, Surya Siddhanta, can make perfectly all astrological calculations, but he would observe, notice that Bhaktivinoda Thakur followed the calendar of P.N. Bakshi. And sometimes there's a difference. So just for the sake of argument, we can say the calculation of Saraswati Thakur is perfect. We can easily assume that. But he finds, when he sees a difference, rather than asserting his own calculation, which he knows is perfect, he's deferring to the calendar followed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur out of deference to his guru. He does not want ego assertion to pit him against the guru. So this is a higher truth. The devotional consideration is a higher truth than what we might calculate. Even in the beginning of Gita, we could say, Arjuna is making so many calculations based upon his own personal observations of things. But then the critical moment comes when he says, Sishas teham sarimam tvam prapanam, prapana, prapana jivanamritam, prapadya. Sharanagati, he surrenders to Krishna And this is the critical point there, and it's also the critical point in the lives of aspiring servitors. The transfer of autonomy, which makes Western people in particular nervous and full of anxiety, because they live in a world where Darwinian evolution rules, it's survival of the fittest. People are trying to eliminate one another. They do not have your real interest at heart. They're trying to exploit you in one way or another. So you have to be constantly suspicious, looking over your shoulder, right? Having someone cover your back. So many things are there because, and from the Bhagavatam also we have jivo jivasya jivanam. In this world, one living being thrives, lives at the expense of another. That's what is being told. That's the rule here. So it's the world of exploitation. But to approach the world of the land of dedication, where one living being thrives by serving another, seva mayoyam loka, we'll have to reconsider, reconceptualize things. And here we find that curiosity, the desire to know, that knowledge, in the words of Guru Maharaj, knowledge is poison. Right? The plane we aspire to is jnana shunya bhakti. Right? So that Putana, by their thing, we must be pious people, that when Putana fell, she didn't crush Krishna. She fell in the direction where he then softly landed on her breast. We must have done something right in the past. We're very fortunate people. To evolve to that level of internal sweetness is not an intellectual exercise, right? As given by Brahma, jnane prayasam udapasanam anta eva, give up trying to know him. Right? That curiosity that leads to a spirit of interrogation, where we're interrogating the absolute, interrogating the infinite in the court of the finite. How is this possible? Where were you on the Brahmaratri? So Shradhan Vito Nushanaya Dattabarna Yedya. The culture of faith. Why did Sarasvati Thakur, out of deference to the Vaishnava principles, etiquette, not to initiate, father not to initiate the son. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent Srila Sarasvati Thakur to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And everyone, we should preface these remarks with saying, everyone is interested in capturing Sarasvati Thakur as a disciple. This will enhance their prestige. Such a great scholar, unparalleled in his scholarly abilities and intellectual, all of these things. And he's sent to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who, upon hearing his request, he said, I shall have to ask Mahaprabhu. Then Sarasvati Thakur goes away, comes back a fortnight later, Babaji Maharaj. Oh, I forgot to ask. And Sarasvati Thakur said, I knew everyone was eager to have me as a disciple. Jai Srila Bhakti Vimala Abhadut Maharaj Ki. He said, I knew everyone was so eager to get me. Yes, the garland, mala. Jai. Kaviraj Goswami says, Chinadapi suni chena torodapi sahishnu na amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Wear this like a garland around your neck. Gurudev sat beneath that sloka for years on end, and every day, at least once a day, he quoted that sloka, you could say. And when I said to him, naively, a little, carefully thought, I said, oh, Maharaj, when did you realize this? He looked at me. He said, out of desperation. He said, I already tried everything else. It's the only thing that works. Humility, tolerance, giving honor to others, not expecting. It's the key. Sometimes Guru Maharaj says the open secret. And by no better example than Srila Avadhut Maharaj of giving position to others, you go up. Try to keep someone down, you go down. But if you give amani na amana dena, so that's what Saraswati Thakur is observing, and he's thinking, he knows what he is, objectively speaking. I'm this big scholar. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we're sometimes told, was functionally illiterate, meaning he couldn't write his name. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is sending the big scholar to the functionally illiterate Vaishnav Babaji for diksha. What is it to show, right? So when Saraswati Thakur sent one of his representatives to the West, in the words of Srila Guru Maharaj, he came back half converted. And when the arrival party, they were traveling by boat, arrival party in Bombay. Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada there, Srila Guru Maharaj there, and others. When he arrived back, and they have some, and they see absent the dress of the Vaishnava sannyasi. In response to the questioning, he said, they ask questions that cannot be answered. Right? And Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada said, you know, what are those questions? And Srila Guru Maharaj answered them one by one. And that's when Prabhupada said, today Europe has been defeated by Asia. So he, yeah.
Can we project an idea what could be those questions are?
No, I don't know, and I don't want to guess. But whenever you make an intellectual approach to divine substance, that can be the end result. It could be anything, is the point. All Krishna consciousness, beginning, middle, and end, is the culture of faith. So that's why Brahma, he also had questions that could not be answered. How can a 5-year-old cowherd boy, see there, Nomijate Brahmapuse Taridam Baraya, Gunjavatangsa Piripich Chalasan Mukaya, Vanya Srijay, Srijay, Kavalavetra Vishanavenu, Lakshmashmiye Mridupade Pashupankajaya. His 5-year-old boy, he doesn't have forearms like Vishnu, He's not carrying a giant scepter with jewels. He has a stick in his hand and a flute stuffed in his belt and food in his left hand, and he's eating with his friends on the banks of the Jamuna. So he has questions. He can, like, how can that be God? I know Narayan. He looks like God. Four arms, crown, lot of Aishwarya. That sounds, you know, seems to be God. This is supposed, all these grown adults bowing down to a little boy with his stick. You've seen the sticks. It's that kind of stick. We see them. They still do it. The little cowherd boys in India. They have a little stick they tap the calves with for herding them. So he has a stick, flute in the belt, food in the palm, eating with his friends. So, Muhyanti Atsuraya, the Bhagavatam tells you in the beginning, gods are bewildered in trying to understand Krishna conception. Brahma Vimohan, Indra Mohan, Mohini Murti with Shiva. If we think we're going to know every last detail, then it's not Krishna conception. Guru Saraswati taught, then why he is called Adhoksaja? Adha Aksaja. What are we talking? Aksaja, the eyes, the senses. Adha means when he decides to reveal something of himself to you, all your sense experience is pushed down so that can happen. It's suppressed. The inversion, meaning when you're in full-blown sense experience, what is Saraswati Thakur saying? Trying to, like vultures, looking for vulture food. The eyes want to devour something, the ears want to hear the sweet sound, the tongue wants to, like vultures. That's why Guru Maharaj said Saraswati Thakur did not advise taking Krishna Nam before a picture of Krishna, which we could say, oh, many, if not most devotees, they do something like that. Oh, but our Param Guru, or my Param Guru, he's saying not to do that. Why? Your eyes will turn that image of Krishna into vulture food. When the artist asks Krishna, is this what Krishna really, asked Prabhupada, is this what Krishna really looks like? And he said, not exactly, but you'll recognize him when you see him. Gopakumar, he recognizes Krishna when he sees him. So, Mahaprabhu sees Jagannath as Shyama Sundar, Krishna. Radharani is Krishnamayi. If she looks, he will become that. Mahaprabhu and his devotees we heard how they're dancing before Jagannath. Mahaprabhu singing some song. He's also singing, interestingly. Later when he goes in the garden, after the Prataparudra Maharaj Gopi Gita, then because they're now in Vrindavan, the Virahabhav has receded. The separation has gone down for a while. So there's less intense pastime and different type. All those different gardens are like the gardens of Vrindavan. So we're told at one point, Bhakreshra Pandit, at the insistence of Mahaprabhu, he's dancing and Mahaprabhu is singing. How beautiful is that? Bhakreshra Pandit is one of the greatest dancers of all time. seeing his dancing, Mahaprabhu said, if I had one wing like that, I could fly. So he's dancing in the garden and Mahaprabhu is singing. What sort of relationship do they have? And that's it, where Nityananda Prabhu sees Mahaprabhu become Radharani. And then he's keeping little distance and singing something in his own way. And they're playing their sports in the water. Srup Damodar, Pundarik Vidyaniti, they're splashing water on each other, they're all playing in the water. Gadadhar and someone, they're also playing, and Sarvabhauma and Ramananda. And that's when Mahaprabhu tells Govinda, tell those two to, like, call, you know, they're supposed to be grave, scholarly people, and this is good too. They're here, the scholar, they're playing like children in the water. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy. Mahaprabhu, tell them to show a more dignified profile. What does Govinda say? Oh, you have, a drop of your prem can inundate the world, can flood Sumeru and the Mandara mountain. And these are like little hills, Sarvabhauma and Ramananda. And Mahaprabhu, he's also happy to hear that. And that's when he summons Advaita. And Advaita floats on the water. Mahaprabhu lies on Advaita Charja like Sheshai Vishnu, and they're floating in the water. He's telling them not to play around. Then what does he do? Float on Advaita Charja in the water. Think about that. All those great devotees playing in the water, and Mahaprabhu floating on Advaita Charja as Sheshai Vishnu. It's a past, it's a way of relaxing. That's what Guru Maharaj said. This infinite sleeps on a bed of infinite. So what is the infinite? Can you conceive of an infinite who sleeps on a bed of infinite? He lies on a bed of infinite to rest with eyes half closed. So that Mahaprabhu, he asks Srup Damodar, a few days have gone by, if he would tell him about all the different types of gopis there are in their expressions. And they're saying, it's like endless rivers and they're all unique and different in different ways and we can't discuss those things. But Srup Damodar can. Mahaprabhu asks him straight to give some comparative analysis. He'd like to hear that. All the different types there are, their unique qualities. How they're divided, subdivided, subdivided, divided again, subdivided, all. It gives Mahaprabhu great delight to hear about them. And they're saying just that gives, they give Krishna so much pleasure and happiness. Mahaprabhu is getting great pleasure and happiness just hearing about it. But that leads to the Hara Panchami, where Mahaprabhu is saying, The way Lakshmi Devi is behaving, that I've never heard about. And they say, yes, we heard that Satyabhama, the queen in Dwarka, how she reacts to being slighted by her lover. Also the gopis in Vrindavan, they neglect themselves. They draw with their finger on the sand and very sad and morose. But what is Lakshmi Devi doing? Attacking her lover, surrounded by all of her attendants on a big throne, marching, dancing girls, musicians, attendants, attacking on the attack. As we're told, it's on a plea that once a day, Srip Damodar is telling all these things to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu wants it to come out. He's saying, once a year in Dwaraka, Krishna is, he's overwhelmed all the time in separation from Vrindavan. But once a year, it's intolerable. That's when this day comes. And he tries to find an excuse to go from Dwaraka to Vrindavan and the Jagannath, the temple to Gundicha. And the Rath Yatra, we're told, is an excuse. So, and he goes, and all those gardens, there are different pastimes that are not described. Only very few can understand the pastimes that go on in all those different places. That is his intention. And the riding the chariot, that's the excuse to go with his brother, and the brother and sister are cover. Like if a woman said, the husband said, I'm going to go, and she's thinking, your ex-girlfriend lives in that town. But I'm going with my brother and sister. Oh, okay. But then after a while, Lakshmi Devi figures it out. That's when she becomes angry. But acts in a very strange way. And her attendants start beating the chariot. We're saying how divine it is, like we saw the other day. It's very beautiful. You see the big head on the side of the chariot with the bit, that's Nandi Ghosh, who's Daruka, Krishna's charioteer. Jai and Vijay are the gatekeepers of Jagannath's chariot, the red and yellow one. Garuda's the guard. There's nine gods, so many goddesses. Oh, and the Shakti power of the chariot, we're told, is Bimala Devi and Viroja. So it's a totally Mahaprabhu tells the Khan brothers from, where are they, Kulinagram, that saying, get the really good silk ropes next year, because I remind you, they're Ananta Dev himself. The ropes are Ananta Dev. It's totally Chinmoy. But they're beating that. They're also Chinmoy. Chinmoy can beat Chinmoy. It's okay. It's good. It's a good thing. When that Brahmin wanted to curse Krishna, Krishna said, hold that thought. I'm in the Nirguna plane and you're in the higher aspect of the Saguna plane. It's not going to affect me. And you're just going to go down. You're going to expend what you got by being a good Brahmin, and you're going to waste that. It won't affect me. I'm in the Nirguna plane. But I'm in the Nirguna plane. So they're beating the chariot, abusing Jagannath's servitors, calling them terrible names. But that allows for Srip Damodar to discuss many different aspects, which really it's not, we cannot do that, but it's there. So he's done it. After chapter 13 and chapter 14, this very extraordinary discussion takes place at the request of Mahaprabhu by none other than Srip Damodar. And it's very beautiful what is described there. It's too beautiful to repeat. But after that, that's when Narada and Srivast Thakur, as Narada-like says, look at the opulence of my goddess of fortune. Jeweled throne, so many attendants, so much grandeur. And he says, what do they have in Vrindavan? Peacock feathers, Gunjamala. These are the things he names. And what are gopis doing? They're like making doi, yogurt, and butter. And all the devotees start to smile. Because Mahaprabhu is saying, oh, you say these things in front of Srup Damodar. He's a Shuddha Brajbasi. He said, Aishwarya, opulence isn't in his dictionary. And Srup Damodar says, oh, did you forget? I thought, someone get a copy of Brahma Sangita. Did we copy one for him yet? Did you get your copy? Apparently not. Otherwise, you would have read there in the end. What did it say? The Chintamani Bhumi, the soil is made out of Chintamani. Toyam Amritam, what? The water is Amritam. Right. Jyoti, there, light, Murti. There's no impersonal light in the spiritual world, in the interior. Murti, it's all personified. And he said, and what are, do you say, trees? They're kalpa, bricka. That's where that tree comes from. And that's why I couldn't tolerate that man stealing a kalpa bricka tree for his own purpose. And Chintamani's Charanabhushanamanganam. Sringara Pushpa Tarabas Tarabas Suranam Vrindavanam Rajadanam Nanukamadenu Vrindani Sukha Chaiti Sukha Sindhur Ho Vibhuti. Srup Damodar quoting Karanamritam. So Srup Damodar is quoting Brahma Sangita and Krishna Karanamritam to prove his point. He's saying, and it's the place where all movement is dance, all speech is song, the water's nectar, the light has form. The trees are kalpa vrikka. And you say, desire fulfilled. But what is the desire of anyone there? To serve Krishna. So you have this desire tree that all the conceivable ways that you could possibly want to serve Krishna, it will supply the paraphernalia necessary for your service. And the cows are kamadenu. Again, kama, they fulfill all desire, etc. And so he says, Chintamanis charanabhushanamanganam. And those divine damsels, it's always told by some inverted system of measurement. If you could properly conceive of what a Chintamani gem is, Radharani also hinted earlier in Mahaprabhu's expressions before Jagannath saying, the Sukha Samudra, the ocean of happiness we experience in Vrindavan, what does she say about Dwaraka? That Kurukshetra, Dwarka, right? I don't find a drop of it here. She's the, you know, leader of all the cowgirls in Vrindavan. Is that not an insult? She's saying, what you all have in Dwarka, you don't have a drop of the pleasure that we have. Rupa Goswami says, Brahmanando bhavedesha chet paradha gunikrita naiti bhakti sukham bodhe paramanu tulamapi. Brahmanando bhavedesha chet paradha. Takshat kalanalada vishudabhi stitashame sukhani goshpadayante. So if we can properly conceive one Chintamani Jam, then result Chintamani Charanabhushaman Angananam, the damsels of Braja, the gopi girls of Braja, where their anklets are made out of Chintamani gems. So then who are they? How great they must be. But it's all suppressed opulence. Anyway, everyone is very happy to hear Swarup Damodar's answer. Goes beyond individual calculation. Brahma, nomijase bravapuse taridam varaya abra vapu. Like lately we see the dark clouds that are comparable to Krishna, the monsoon type rain cloud. If that is someone's complexion, very difficult to see. But then we're told, taridambara, tarit ambar, but he wears the lightning dress. So the lightning dress reveals the abravapu, the dark, complected beauty of Krishna. And Guru Maharaj said that represents his shakti, his potency. So who is revealing Krishna? Radharani. Faith is the halo of Radharani. Bargo by Brishubhanu Jatva Bivavai Eka Aradhana Sripuram. And Guru Maharaj's Gayatri explanation. She's illuminating the whole spiritual world. Because necessarily so, because it's a plain, if the spiritual world is the seva mayoyam loka, then how is it illuminated? By who is revealing service. We're so riveted to think in terms of, you know, time and space and, you know, XY coordinates. Talking about depth of faith. That's why Saraswati Thakur could toss his calculations and say, if Bhaktivinoda says it this way, that's good enough for me. Everything has the incurring current, outcurring current. The interpretation of auspicious signs. There's a way of interpreting things in terms of your own life movements in the world of, you know, in the objective world. But we're told Radharani, she's the source of this sort of interpretation. She's seeing, are there indications favorable for meeting with Krishna? That's the concern of a devotee. That's Krishnanushilana Sangha. Everything is interpreted as being meaningful or possessing value in relation to Krishna. It's favorability rating towards increased Krishna awareness or connection with Krishna. And otherwise it's dismissed. Dharma kswanustitak pungsang vishva kshena katasuya notpadayed yadiritim swama eva hikevalam. Told in the Bhagavatam, if the end result of whatever it is you're doing, that's why it's very, it's not a particular thing, it's whatever it is you're doing, if the end result is not increased attraction for hearing about Krishna, what is it? Srama eva hi kevalam, a useless waste of time. That's why Radharani in the Madhya Lila what she is expressing, Saraswati Thakur says in the purport, he shows a parallel between what she's saying and Sukadev Goswami in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where he's saying, if you don't use your eyes to see the form of Krishna, they're like the eyes on a peacock plume, ears like the ears of a snake, because they don't hear, tongue like the frog croaking. Sometimes we hear the frogs here when it rains. It's unbelievable. You know, like, what are they discussing?
Inviting snakes.
Right, to come, right. That's what the Bhagavatam says. By that sound, you're inviting the snake of time to come and devour you. So, Sukadev saying all those things, and I thought it's a mildly humorous observation that sometimes the brahmacharis would be criticized as being too insensitive or fanatical. But if you listen to Sukadev Goswami in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first chapter, he sounds a little fanatical. He talks about the Grihastha, not Grihastha, excuse me, Grihamedes. And many different things he says there. It's pretty intense. But it's considered to be, it's not mean. He's not being mean. He's just saying what the truth is. It's the difference. But what's more interesting is that when Saraswati Thakur, where Radharani is saying, what is the value? She's cursing, for, like, why would you have eyes if you didn't use them to see Krishna? Can you explain that to me? She, it's beyond her comprehension what you would do with them if you, they weren't being used for seeing Krishna and things related to Krishna. That's the intensity. They're not mean or fanatical in an ordinary way, but they're just, these are genuine sentiments. Jadi gaur na hoita tabi ki hoita kemoni dari tam dehe radhar mahima prema rasasima jagata janatake. Guru Maharaj is saying that Vasudev Ghosh, that he's saying, he can't imagine why anybody, how it's possible to live without Gauranga conception. He actually cannot conceive of life without that. But if you say to him, Guru Maharaj said, he would say to you, but I hear, even though that's impossible, for a while you were living without that. The only way he can adjust it is thinking, anticipating you would come in connection with this. You lived without it for some, that I can understand. Those are the only two things you can understand. So anticipating you would, then that is possible. So beautiful. They can't imagine that there are people who are not Krishna conscious. It's just unthinkable.
Of Gaura consciousness.
Yes, with him, Mahaprabhu. Kaviraj Goswami is saying, if they appear to be a devotee of Krishna, but they have no appreciation for Mahaprabhu, they're asuras. Prabodhananda Saraswati and Chaitanya Chandramritam at one point saying, what did these other avatars do before Mahaprabhu? What were they giving people? The personified Vedas, Guru Maharaj, they feel horrible saying, now that after they participated in Rasa Leela, they're saying, what did we do? Terrible. We didn't clearly indicate this prospect. That's why Narada's chastising Vyas. Saying, if they don't hear about this possibility, they'll conclude the only plane for expression of Eros is in the Saguna world. Because Vaikuntha doesn't allow that, accommodate that. It's only created so beautifully, Uttara, the mother of Parikit. Whereas says after hearing half of Brihad Bhagavatamritam, her question after the first half, she says, "This is so beautiful what you've described. Yeah, I feel there must, but Vaikuntha couldn't possibly accommodate the sort of devotion of Yashoda, Nanda Yashoda, Radharani and Braja Gopis. Is there another world where they live?" And that's why the second section is called Goloka Mahatmya. My dear mother, I'm glad you asked this. She's so wonderful. She understands these things intuitively. Hearing all these things, she thinks there must be another world that they live in beyond Vaikuntha. I feel that in my heart, but maybe you could say something. Then the second half, Goloka Mahatmya.
Maharaj, considering all these things, we can imagine that in Chatur Yuga, there are so many great rishis, munis,
yes,
scholar, yogis, and some of them must be have some devotional tendencies. Can we say that you can really only advance in Kali Yuga? There's no any other, no other time.
Well, Guru Maharaj quotes the Bhagavatam and Jiva Goswami about why Kali Yuga is the desired entrance point, that even gods and goddesses are waiting in line to take birth in the Kali Yuga. Because as we told before, only once in a day of Brahma does Krishna come, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. And in the Kali, that's where, remember, Treta is the third, actually. Dwa is two. It's really Satya, Dwarpara, Treta, Kali. But we're told in that 27th Divya Yuga, the cycle, there's an overlapping where Treta Yuga comes earlier. Treta Yuga and Dwarpara Yuga, reverse position. And Krishna appears in that Dwarpara Yuga, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. And the Kali Yuga that follows, Mahaprabhu, Radha Baba, Duti Subalita. Mahaprabhu is enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani comes. So how extraordinary that is. Those who know that, on what, however that came, that was disseminated to them, they're going to want that opportunity. And or to put it this way, if you, there's, this is the one time where Krishna is going to appear, then Mahaprabhu, who would want to be born in the Satyayuga if Mahaprabhu is going to appear in the Kali Yuga that follows Dwarpara Yuga? Right? If you had a choice, they say, you could be a, you know, a generically advanced spiritual personality in the Satyayuga, or you can appear 500 years after Mahaprabhu in the Kali Yuga and get connection with the highest. Anarpita charim chirat korna avatirna kalo samar payatam urutajvala rasam swabhakti sriyam. So, Guru Guru Maharaj said it, he compared it to the weather. Satyuga would be like the good weather time, Kali Yuga the bad weather, he said, but if the Vaishnavas come to your house, that's the good day. Mahaprabhu comes in the Kali Yuga. So, and as it says, anarpita charim chirat, giving what hasn't been offered previously. So those sumedasa yajanti, those who of refined theistic intellect, they'll want to come at that time and take advantage of that opportunity. So with this understanding, then we gain increased appreciation for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Saraswati Thakur, and our Guru Varga, what's being extended. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tushe Nama. And remember, Guru Maharaj is saying, Mahaprabhu, Krishna is Mahaprabhu, he's distributing what he thinks is valuable. What does he think is valuable, most valuable? The Krishna Prem that's found in the heart of Srimati Radharani in its highest expression known as Mahabhav. So it's inconceivable of inconceivable things. But we burn the lotus of our own good fortune by not properly appreciating what's before us.